Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
How you doing, Scott?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Tired, but I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm tired, too. Let me get Adrian on. Adrian, you're on.
Good evening. How are you both?
Good evening. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Scott's just getting
sad. What do you mean you're tired? You need to take your behind the bed at night.
Yeah,
stand up for all times of the night.
5 o'clock in the morning. Get Jimmy on.
See?
How would you know he was up at all times of the night if you was up at all times of the night?
That's our secret.
Because I was listening last night.
Oh.
She was up all night, too. I heard the screaming. Giddy up. How you doing, Jim? Well, you might not be Jim. This might be Paul. Yes, there you are.
Yeah, I hear you guys real good. I'm sorry to hear you up all night. I'm hoping it's on purpose.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just asked her husband. I will say no more. Scott, take it away. Jimmy, Adrian, take it away. I'm done.
All right. So here, I got something I'm gonna read here real quick. I saw this. I shared it, and I thought it was fitting to open up the show with it. So I can get to it here. All right. This was shared from another union member, by the way. So I'm not gonna take credit for this. What is an auto assembly line worker? We walk in before the sun comes up. We get to our station, set up, wait for the buzzer to start our day. The line starts. We move sideways continuously. We work. We can't stand still because the line will move away from us. The floor is concrete, and if we're lucky, we'll have a decent mat beneath our feet. If not, we better have on good shoes, and then it really doesn't matter. Our feet are going to hurt. We will be on our feet all day, 8, 9, 10 hours, 11 hours. We never really know. We will be tired. We will walk in total about 10 miles a day. The guns are torqued, so we'll have to tighten our hands and wrists. They will hurt. This pain doesn't go away. It gets worse. The line doesn't stop, so if we need a bathroom break, we'll have to wait for someone to relieve us, if someone is available. If not, we can't go. We wait for break and rush and hope we get there before everyone else does. Eventually, we learn to time our job and get good at it. We have a conversation with the operator next to us, but in intervals, because the plant floor is so loud, we can't hear. There are bells and buzzers and the clink of the chains and the voice of hundreds of people. Yes, it's loud. The work itself can be hard. We will build muscles and calluses. The line runs so fast as they feel. We can work without stopping the line. Excuse me. We'll sweat in the summer. The further we are away from the front office, the hotter we will be. We have fans, but apparently we can't afford one at each station, so we better hope we are near someone who doesn't want the fan on. The job gives your mind time to think. We get to the point where the tasks we perform are committed to memory, so our minds are completely free for hours at a time. We can't allow ourselves to be distracted, so really all we have are our thoughts. Music is a must. If we are allowed earbuds, we can block out the noise and get into a rhythm, and that's good. The long days don't seem so long, and we build a quality vehicle. Finally, management will call it line time, and we'll know what time we're allowed to go home. Overtime is mandatory, and we are tired, but we have to get that magic number. We'll work 8, 9, 10, 11 hours, and we'll work on Saturdays, too. Whatever it takes, our job is to build vehicles. We won't stop the line. We don't complain because no one cares. There's a build number, and we'll meet it. If we forget, our boss will remind us, and typically not in a nice way. The buzzer goes off, and it's time to go home. Our bodies are sore, and we are tired. Sometimes we don't even eat when we get home. We shower and fall asleep. Our family doesn't understand why we can't spend time with them. Our houses look like a tornado went through them, and laundry's never done. we get to bed as early as possible so that tomorrow we can get up and do it all over again. So, yes, we deserve to get paid well. We deserve a share of the profits, and we help bring in. We also deserve excellent health care because the job rips our bodies apart. And we are people who deserve to be treated with respect. We are the assembly line workers. And we keep the CEO of GM living the life she's become accustomed to. Just to be fair, that's all we want. I'm a skilled trades worker. I see this every day. Even on my worst day, I cannot complain to a line worker. It doesn't hold a candle to their every day. I've seen some of them not even able to stand straight up after their shift. This job is not for everyone. It will make you or break you, and only the strong survive. Powerful, huh?
Wow.
Very much so.
So people hear about us. So there's a story from somebody who else has watched a line worker who's a skilled trades person. And I thought that was great. So, all right. So with that being said, Adrian, maybe you can help us out. I hear they're going to be adding 300 jobs to help build batteries for the new electric F-150.
Yeah, they're going to be building a new facility on the Rouge to go along with the truck plant.
Okay.
I haven't been by the complex in about a month, but I can almost visualize exactly where this will be going. As far as the 300 jobs, my thoughts on that, they'll add 300 jobs, but I would say that it won't be a whole lot of new people going into that new facility.
Right, right.
They'll be going into the existing truck plant more than likely.
Okay.
No matter what people think about the Rouge and the local there, they do kind of stick with the seniority scheme.
Right.
So I'm going to watch how that plays out. I've been corresponding with some people that's there. And we'll just have to see what happens, how this is going to shake out.
Right, right.
With the electric vehicle, of course, you're going to need less people.
Right.
Because you're going to bring in more robots.
Right. Or you won't need somebody on a motor line because there won't be a motor line or a transmission line. For somebody to lay that into the cradle of the frame.
Or a brake line. You know,
this is kind of what I was alluding to last week. As time goes on and technology improves, you're going to lose jobs.
Sure.
And there's really not a whole lot you could do about that. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. It's been that way ever since automotive has been in existence.
Right. And there is one thing you can do. And Walter Reuther did it. He knew that because of his visionary that he was at the time, looking forward into the future, and he told people, because of automation, it's going to cost the workers. That's why he pushed for an annual wage agreement. Because he knew people were going to be losing their work. They're going to be losing jobs, and that's why he pushed for that. And that is, like you said, coming true more and more yet this day. That's the only thing we can do is to try to take care of the workers. Well, when we're not stealing from them.
You try to also prepare them. You got ETAP. You got all kinds of things available to you.
Right.
You may not want to go to school, but you're going to have to, in order to protect your job, you're going to have to go to some type of higher learning. Every company has a what they call a training facility. With these joint funds. And that's always been a question that I have. Why would our union leadership or representatives, as you may call them, not make available training? That's what those funds are supposed to be about. So why aren't you really training this active workforce? Why aren't you making sure they're getting the training? They should have already have been having training classes.
Sure.
To prepare for the future. I remember in the facility that I worked, it was, like I said, engine plant. And we always had a factory of the future inside of our plant. And it was always training going on, as a lot of people call them launches, but all of them aren't just launches. They're training, just like I said, for the future. And I saw it in the works. And I'm just trying to figure out what direction and why isn't the I don't like calling them leaders, but why this executive branch is, it seems like they're not really trying to push for the workers to get more skilled. Why aren't you having these factories of the future in every facility that you have? Because, like I said, every one of them, you're moving into the future. And you're going to try to, the companies, of course, are trying to eliminate as many people as they can, but they can't do it all at once because those robots cost a lot of money. And because of their greed and profitability, they have to have so many profits coming in. So they're only going to buy so many robots at a time. But,
right, and the cheapest robots are like, I think, the last time I read an article on this, on automation, I think the cheapest robots start out like $1.3 million a piece.
Somewhere around there, yes. And, you know, the other thing is that a lot of times they don't put the very best of machinery in or the very best of robots in.
Correct.
Matter of fact, they could be at the time of purchase. They could already be somewhere 3 to 5 years old.
Outdated.
Yes, they're pretty much outdated. And the other part of it is that the salvage value, you know. So they look at all of that. The accounting part is looking at the salvage value. And so you base that, you say, well, this is going to last 10 years until I get down to zero. Well, okay, so they get down to zero, right? And they continue to use that same machinery. And they band-aid it, and it gets to a point where it's so obsolete they can't get parts for it. And this is where your trades really come in. And the trades, jerry-rig it, whatever they have to do to keep this
sure.
functional. Well, it's pure profit. Now it's pure profit on that machine because
right.
it's already zero. So they try to use that those machines for 10 to 15 more years.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the meantime, you've gotten rid of some of your workers. So it really helps with their profit when you look at it that way.
Sure.
Oh, I just
the running joke, the standing joke's always been with General Motors. If they want to turn profit, they just get rid of more employees.
Correct.
It's sad,
and they all do.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They all
absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely.
It makes it harder a lot of times on the members or the workers, and but they don't see it. They don't understand
right.
all of the ins and outs, and that's kind of where we're supposed to come in. Those of us that know. But a lot
sure.
of times they don't want to listen. So, and we could tell that by the way that the ratifications happen with the contracts.
Sure.
Because they did not try to protect themselves because they don't know how to forecast into the future to see that this is not going to be enough.
Right.
I got to go 4 years with just this. Well, if I'm looking at the current economy, when my contract expires, and I've seen the way I could just look at the year that I'm in and say, well, damn, prices are raising, you know, inflation is, and you could say, well, wait a minute, this is not going to be enough to cover for 4 years.
Correct.
But they never look at the big picture. And see
right.
all of these things coming. I said all of that to say that. Because it was not like we haven't been harping on it, you know, saying, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that. If you don't have to get your trade from them, you can go on the outside and get it yourself. Don't wait on them.
Right.
And you can come back with, I got these credentials. It's so many things to protect yourself so that you'll have a job if you want it.
And one of those is listening to the seniority workers who are telling you when it's a bad contract.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, because it's sad.
We're disappearing. I mean,
yeah.
you're retired now. Don's
yeah.
retired. Jim's retired.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably be retiring in the next 2-3 years, something like that. As we retire,
mm-hmm.
that knowledge disappears. And that
mm-hmm.
makes two different parties extremely happy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, I just was wondering because I've seen the investment. It's not a huge investment. It's a big investment, but it's not like you're building a brand new plant, you know, alongside the Rouge. But it's an investment, and,
mm-hmm.
and there, like you said, there could be some jobs created with this, and some of those are going to be, you're going to have some kind of qualifications. But it's for the battery pack. They're going to build their own battery pack. For the electric F-150.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when's it coming out?
Hey.
Same as General Motors. General Motors is saying, you know, we're going to see these trucks. Well,
yeah.
2021 is just around the corner, and nobody's seen a picture of anybody's trucks yet.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Rivian or Rivian.
Okay.
Tesla, We've seen theirs. There's another one out there that I'm missing one. Rivian or Rivian, whatever. The one that was based in Detroit that moved their headquarters out west now.
Yeah, I know. I know who you're talking about.
They put out a video this week showing their vehicle pulling 11,000 pounds uphill and it never slowed down. It was amazing.
It is amazing.
Now, I don't know. You know, Jim's driven around a lot, and he's driven around a lot around the East Coast back in the day. And I guess what I'm thinking, you might have been down south. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm thinking like 77 going south, you know, like through the mountains. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that might be cool, but if you're pulling that kind of load with the electric truck, two things come to mind. How long is my battery going to last? And two, where am I going to be able to plug this thing in when I need to?
Yep.
Good question.
I'm
take a toll on you. My little S15 going through there. Oh, even the Blue Ridge Skyline in front of Royal to the Pocono. I mean, 1 minute you're at 3,000 feet, the next minute you're at 14,000 feet, and that's your ears popping and you're stuck in some juice. I mean, on a truck that normally had in the mid-20s, I only averaged like 11 through there. Beautiful, don't get me wrong, but it's and don't go fast. Because if you go fast, you're gonna turn into an airplane for a little while.
Right. So I have heard discussion that as we all make electric trucks. I don't think Dodge has announced an electric truck. I could be wrong, but Ford has, General Motors has, and, of course, competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And I've overheard some discussion is the thought is that they will put more money into the battery vehicles and the battery trucks and less money into diesel technology because they think that it's going to replace diesel motors.
Mm-hmm.
And for that very simple fact that Jim was talking about, I don't think you'll ever lose a diesel truck. I could be wrong, but if you're pulling a big fifth wheel or a big tandem or a triple axle trailer with something, a piece of heavy equipment in the back of it, you know, that diesel motor is almost a necessity. The gas will do it, but not as easy as the diesel will because of the torque. I'm hearing from some people that I know that as this money comes out and they're spending more and more money on battery, electric, and autonomous vehicles, that they are cutting back on the budgets for both diesel and gas vehicles.
I did read that, Scott, and you're right. I know one thing they're really saying, and I don't know how this really is, but on the truck, they're talking about putting solar panels on the top of these semis. But there again, when the sun goes down, so I guess our trucks are only going to travel during the day, then you're telling me, or are they going to have a good enough, maybe they're going to have a good enough storage, or maybe there'll be some of these super Tesla chargers like we got here at Grand Blanc. There's, 14 of them. I ain't seen a car parked there yet. And I had to call a buttload of money for that.
I have seen two Teslas this week on my journeys to and from work. I've seen them, both vehicles. So they must work day shift somewhere because I've seen them both multiple times. And then yesterday morning, I seen a Tesla pulling into the to the parking lot at our plant.
Wow.
So I don't know. We got plugs for the electric vehicles at our shop, and two different places they have plugs for electric vehicles right now. We got one in the north lot, and they got one over by the body shop. And we got four charging stations at both locations. And of course, you see the volts there right now, and a bolt. I take that back. I did see a bolt, but. Yeah, you guys spend that money for the Tesla, but
at Myers on Morris Road. Now, the kid at the gas station that works there, I was asking about it. I don't know if he was bull crapping me or what, but he says, you pull in there with a Tesla at 20% charge, you plug in, you walk over here, buy a coffee, and by the time you walk back, he goes, it's done in 10 minutes. That's amazing if that's true.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, Tesla's put it out there, and Tesla's has said for the most part, most of his technology, he has not copyrighted. In fact, he's put it out there that, you know, if you can take this and make it better, go right ahead. So we'll see how that plays out. But if I remember right, the new Tesla charging stations had was trying to address the problem with electric vehicles because not all the plugs are the same. And Tesla's saying every manufacturer needs to make that plug the same way, so they're universal.
Uh-huh.
And I think, if I remember right, Tesla was the only one that put adapters for the other manufacturer's electric vehicles that would adapt to that so you could plug in and charge in at a Tesla. So maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. I don't own an electric vehicle.
It wouldn't seem too advantageous for any
no.
of them to not have a universal plug.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That
but
makes no sense.
Think about this, people. We have a universal plug on propane tanks, even left-hand studs. Think about that, folks. They're ass backwards. But there's a reason for that. And like I said, this should be universal as well. The only reason why it won't is because somebody in one of the companies, or probably all three, the CEOs are greedy.
Right. And we've all seen the pictures of the diesel motor running a charging station so you can charge your vehicle. Kind of defeats the purpose. I don't know. Maybe it's not electric somewhere. So they run a diesel generator to make it so you can plug in your electric vehicle to charge it up. Range. Range is another thing. That's something else I haven't really heard. We hear about the vehicles and both foreign and domestic, but we're not hearing anything about ranges on these trucks. Everybody's talking, but nobody's testing a truck out, or we've gotten to spy it, so to say, and see actually what kind of mileage these trucks are going to get with electric.
300. Why does 300 miles come to mind?
I have heard that that's like the benchmark mileage that they want to go.
Okay.
So let's run with three. Let's run with 300 miles. I'm going to run with that. It's a good number. Thank you. Let's say you and your husband decide to get a small fifth wheel, or let's just say a trailer of some kind. Let's say you decide to go, let's say you want to go out west. That's an extreme. Let's say we go down south. Let's say you want to go to sunny Florida for a couple of weeks. How's that? That sound better?
Okay.
So you guys load up the truck, you load camper, the electric truck's got to charge, and you get rolling. Well, it's what, 1,200 miles to Florida, roughly, or 1,000 miles from to Florida?
Okay. We'll say 1,200.
Yeah. So where are you gonna? We had better plan. I'm knowing you, so I'm gonna say you have not left that up to your husband. Adrian has already figured out who we're going to have to stop for the night so we can juice this thing up so we can keep going.
That's true.
You know, and you think, okay, I might be saving money on gasoline, but let's say I have a 300-mile range. I'm not going to go very far,
mm-hmm.
so I might have to add an extra day on my trip or two
mm-hmm.
just to travel to get there. Where had you had a gas or diesel motor, you're just pulling over to fill up and maybe get some rest tonight, and then you're right back on the road again.
Mm-hmm.
Just thoughts that I was having, and the big one coming to my mind because I'm up in a farming community. What would you
okay.
do if you have this heavy-duty pickup truck that's battery, all battery, no diesel or gas backup motor, it's all electric, and you get out there and you got a trailer full of cattle or pigs or soybeans or corn,
mm-hmm.
and you're pulling that, we know that taxes the battery pack because you need more power, and you may not be able to finish out a whole day's worth of work because of the amount of weight you're pulling with this vehicle. And it's possible you could end up getting stranded out in the field.
Well,
just
you got your old charging station too on your property.
That's true.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
It's like, how much is that going to cost you? I mean, you know.
Right. And we know they're not going to be cheap.
Yeah. I don't want an electrical. I don't want an electric vehicle. I just don't want it.
It'll be curious, Scott, because Walmart's supposedly already doing that with their semi fleets out on the road for, 9 months now, and they're saying it's working great, and they're running during the night, too. So I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. But, yeah, one of the guys here in the club drives for Wally World. He goes, I will say one thing. He goes, it's peppy as hell, but they've got, he goes, I can get to 0 to 70 right now. But he goes, then they got a cutoff. They won't let us go no faster. He goes, it goes like hell, but the brakes are funky because I guess there's a brake on every motor. So when you let off, he goes, you got to let off slow.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the hell that means.
Right. Now, with that being said, I would like to see their storage capacity in their batteries because they're not going to, they don't have the same batteries that you and I or Adrian or Don would have if we buy a truck or a car. Their battery's got to be huge, I would imagine, to give them the kind of charge that they could go those kind of miles with in between charges. You know what I mean?
He runs 400 miles a day is his route. He says he makes it with no problem. About 400? He goes, yeah. He goes, Jim, I'm carrying anywhere. Now, they don't carry a lot of weight, though. I will admit that. The trailer, yes. But what he has in the trailer most of the time, he says, is right around 7,000 to 14,000 pounds. For them guys there, that's peanuts.
Yeah. Yeah, a big semi could pull 75,000, 80,000 pounds plus the trailer weight. You know, so but everything, so those trailers are really heavy. They're not as heavy as you think they are. You know,
the
heaviest thing is the axles and the tires and the rims. Most
That's
of them
right.
things are made out of aluminum and plywood.
That's correct.
But still, so it's just food for thought, but I'm just thinking it's a good thing for Detroit. It's a good thing for the brothers and sisters at Ford. They're adding on to a building or building a new building, and we could see some work added out of it. Unfortunately, like you said at the beginning of the show, I think the backside of it is we aren't going to need as many people. Once we get this thing rolling, there will be job cuts. Always is. Once you get to launch a new vehicle, and then we fine-tune and figure out who we need and who we don't need and how many people we can actually run without and go lean, so to say. But that's not going to be any time next week. This is going to be a while down the road, isn't it?
Yeah, this is, and I forget what year, you know, when they said that this will be up going, because it's taking them a minute. I've watched them tear down what we called our resource building. And it took them a long time to tear that building down. And that building sits right there at the truck plant. And so that's where I see them putting this. Matter of fact, I know that's where they're putting it. I'm just wondering about some other buildings that sit behind it, some on the side. But I can just about visualize how that's going to be built. I would believe that new plant, which would be lean from its beginning.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to come in lean as far as
they said the
workers.
Electric truck will be on sale, will go on sale in mid-2022.
That's quick.
That's a long way.
Yeah, I
that's
think
a long
I
ways
need to
away.
Take a ride. I need to take a ride up there and
scope it out.
See. Yeah, because like I said, I haven't been down that way in about a month.
Right.
And then I wasn't really over there, so yeah, I'll take a ride so I can really get my vision on, so to speak. And maybe I'll even go and ask a few questions at the local. Maybe I'll get, you know, somebody could explain some things to me about that.
Sure.
That would be nice, you know, to find out just how's that going to go here?
Yeah. Well, that'd be interesting to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I tell you. I believe that everybody should be profitable. The company should be profitable, but so should the workers.
Absolutely.
And what I'm getting ready to say, don't take it out of context, but people should not be working for slave labor, slave labor wages.
Yes.
Because I'm just so miffed by that. No, God.
Right. Used to be equal pay for equal work, and that's not there. Not there.
This is a different ball game, though. See, now you're going into it's not just the physical work. Now you're using people's knowledge and their intellect more and more, and you're not paying people for that. See,
right.
That's what's happened over time, too. And they're not paying for that. Yes. Oh, boy. I don't know. Can we talk about something else, y'all?
Sure. Yes, we can.
Hey,
I got a couple of good things. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to see if you guys have been following that shit out at Fort Kansas City Assembly Plant and how their rank and file had to file their own committee over this COVID stuff. It seems like there's a lot of stuff out there that's not being reported, and they don't even shut the plant down. They just send them home and film in more chunks.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting article on paper. That's on the Labor Report website, and there's a very similar article on WSWS about the same thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, 19 people tested positive last week on first shift. All they did was call them to go fill the position. Didn't even do a thing.
No deep clean, huh?
Nothing.
Wow.
Wow.
And where is our international union? Oh, that's right. They're all trying to stay out of prison right now.
Oh, there. We need to let them know that. They're still at home, people.
Still at home.
Yeah. That's right. That, you know, they're protected. Like the foreman's the supervision. Remember, they're still at home, too, people. Guinea pigs are in there. I'm sorry to say it. No disrespect to us, but that's what they're treating us as, guinea pigs.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, this is bad reading this shit. And I guess there's something also going down in Kentucky very similar to that. I was unaware of this shit. I've been busy all week, but I was just hitting some of the different websites, and this is unreal. Then the offshore accounts with Williams, you read that one, of course.
Oh, yeah, them guys. So all had offshore accounts at numerous locations around the world.
Is that right?
Yes. Williams had three offshore accounts between the Cayman Islands, Sweden, and I can't remember the other country the other one was.
I'd have to go back. I'm trying to remember.
It doesn't matter, Scott, what I'm saying. We're trying to tell these people is, wake up. Look at who the hell these people are listening to, and you're listening to them by voting for their protege. The whole damn house needs to be cleaned out. Understand that. You can't sweep out half the person that still doesn't smell like shit.
Right.
I was trying to find, I had the article that was set up, and they told you all the countries that they were there. It was Switzerland and Liechtenstein, the Canary Islands, Japan. There was multiple places in Europe. I can't remember where they're all at. I'll keep looking for it, but It was enlightening because, excuse me, they went through and it was not hundreds of thousands of dollars, it was millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And I think Williams, on the article I think you're referring to, I think Williams has to pay a big fine. I can't remember what it was. It wasn't little. It was a big fine. And I think they said in one of the accounts he had set up like 3.1, or maybe his total accounts was $3.1 million.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, these guys, I know it's disheartening, but it's out there. I'll have to find it. If I find it again, I'll repost it. But it was a lot of money. That's all I know. And he wasn't by himself. Okay, so it's not just him. Yeah, you know what I mean.
There's a lot of people in the switchboard. If you'd like to get on, push one on your keypad. If not, I will be back in about 4 minutes. So keep it going.
All right, we can do that.
But yeah, Scott, I mean, this one here, I was looking at it's where he took a big bribe to put Ashton on the GM board over there, signing bullshit, you know, and how now they're back after him for money over that. But Ecobelli got, what was it, 5.5 years, but they just brought more charges up on him last week as well.
Right, because somehow the feds missed all this, okay? General Motors private investigators found all this, so the feds look kind of silly. So now they have to go back and reevaluate every case they settled because there's definitely more monies involved in this whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So,
but
that's
how they overlooked it.
Say that these contracts weren't negotiated.
Yeah.
Things.
Yeah. Yeah. Overlooked. I think what's the word I like to use? Shenanigans.
Yeah, I was just thinking about your word, shenanigans.
Oh, here it is. I found it. Locations included Switzerland, Luxembourg, Liechtenstein, Italy, and other countries. Well, I know what Japan was in there, and the Cayman Islands was in there. Or not Cayman, Canary
yeah.
Islands. We're in there, and the Canary Islands, I believe, were by Spain. All matters is they had offshore accounts, people, that they're trying to dodge taxes and prying eyes from. So, that being said,
But, you know, they're not going to just get him on that. The rest of them, their stuff going to come to light, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're going to shine that light down that rabbit hole, and they're going to see more than one set of eyes, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, they're going to see a whole bunch of them rabbits.
And they're going to be pop, 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 popping up all over. It'll be like a cartoon, I'm telling you.
But I still am dismayed that we have other people that, like I said, our representatives that keep telling the membership, don't listen to that, those are lies. And it's like, how foolish can you be where you're looking at court case numbers? These people have pled guilty. That tells you something right there, that they didn't want to go to trial, because if they go to trial, they'd get more time.
Absolutely.
They're pleading. And you're going to tell us, oh, don't believe the lies. And it's like, oh, you're still going to uphold these people when they're wrong?
Right.
And you're going to tell the membership in which you are supposedly representing, or you're the leadership, and you're going to tell them, don't believe your lying eyes.
Right.
Your eyes are lying. If you're looking at this and you believe it, we're telling
absolutely.
You that these are lies. Don't believe it. But yet and still, there are case numbers, and these people have pled guilty. So why would you plead guilty to something that you're not guilty of?
Right. And the plea deals, because they don't want to do as much time. So
one rat's correct.
One rat's selling on the other rat. And
mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting for the shoe to drop with Cindy. Somebody's gonna.
I don't think it is, Scott. I think for some reason they're gonna let her off as the goody two shoe. She's gonna somehow be, you know, I'm the angel. I didn't do much of nothing. Yeah, I got a little crooked, but then she tasted the candy and it wasn't that sweet or something. I don't know. They should have dropped her long ago now, with her involvement with GM and, you know, Chrysler. I mean, come on, folks. And again, did she even sit on the GM negotiations when she was Chrysler VP, not GM? Isn't that a huge conflict of interest that would be for me? But I'm, you know, retiree now, so I just got screwed out of the 60 grand because they didn't want to tell me things. But I'm just trying to say, I don't want a Chrysler vice president negotiating my GM. Nor would I think they want my GM person negotiating their Chrysler. Or hell, let's all go over to one for four. How would you like that, Adrian? My GM guy's coming over and negotiating your contract. What would you think about that?
Well, hell, they done made a GM guy VP afford.
That's what I mean. There's so much
shit. So, I mean, you know, what the hell?
That's what I mean. It
right.
It stinks everywhere.
But we've seen something that we hadn't seen before. Her name was in a lawsuit, and Jimmy Settle's name has been brought up.
Yes.
And so has the new vice president of the Ford Department, Gerald Kareem.
Yes.
For other reasons. But it's there. I just think that shoe hasn't fell yet. I think we're going to see what happens with Williams coming up. I know Williams is going to, more than likely, he will talk somewhere because with this hidden money, his problems get doubled.
Yeah.
Anybody who had these offshore, you know what I'm talking about. The IRS, baby. That IRS is going to be coming knocking on that door.
Oh, yes.
And that's a whole different set of rules we play by there.
That is correct.
I can see him now. You made me sell my cottage, you bastards.
Yeah. But, you know, what's funny, what Adrian says, you know, they tell us not to believe this like we're foolish or immature or unintelligent. It's like, okay, so if I have a regional director or a vice president or somebody from staff down there tell me to ignore that, then I'm going to ask them then, where's my sign 8x10 of Norwood Jewel going into federal court then? I guess that's a lie too, right?
Yeah.
You know, people are, you know.
What I'm thinking, because like I'm saying, if it's good enough to go into the plant, goddamn federal judges, make them come back into the plant or don't let them sit home with a dollar. I want to see these pieces of shit sweat and do what we do. Act like a human being and be a guinea pig. Come on. They should either be in the plant with a face mask on. Because if a face mask doesn't work in prison, how the hell is it supposed to work when I'm trying to make a living, Herman?
Put them on a
work release program. And they can work for free. Because they need to pay back. They need to pay back the membership. So, you know, let them come in the plants and work, and their paychecks go to the membership.
He's supposed to start making payment, I believe, this January, and I mean by Norwood Jewel. He is supposed to start repaying $200,000, I believe it was. Don't quote me on that. He doesn't have to pay it all, but he has to pay up until he switched over to Manly.
So this last week we also had some stuff go down. Fiat Chrysler is cutting billions of dollars from the special dividend plan for its shareholders because it's part of the proposed merger with basically with the people that make Peugeot. I can't think of the name of their new group, Solaris or Stellantis or whatever it is, Celery, I don't know. And what they said is that because of the pandemic, so what they're going to do is change was approved by both the FCA and the PCA groups, and it marks the second time the dividend has been cut, attributed to the COVID-19 since the merger, they said. So what they did was they nixed previously $1.3 billion ordinary dividend distribution plan for this year, and then they made another announcement Monday, highlights this global automotive market. I'm looking at the article, it's Stellantis. They are going to hit another $3.4 billion, so that's going to make it like a total of special cuts for this year. It's going to be $6.53 billion. That's a chunk of change.
Yes, it
is. That'd be about half of their whole total profits. But they did say that with this merger, this makes them the world's fourth largest automaker. by the end of the first quarter 2021, the combined company would be larger than either General Motors or Ford, would bring the Jeep, Ram, Chrysler, Dodge, Fiat, Alfa Romeo, and Maserati brands together with Peugeot, Citroen, Opel, and Vauxhall, which was sold by General Motors, and Opel and Vauxhall was sold to General Motors in 2017, would make them this huge global competitor. Just saying, it's somebody's dicing something up. Somebody's stacking in the right places, I think.
734, John.
Huh? You go. Eight.
Hello.
Hello. There you go.
Okay. So,
here.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, but you know, the bigger they, get, the harder they fall down.
This is true.
Okay, because it's not like this has not been tried before. Everything that's going on right now has been tried before. The joint venture of GM with Honda.
Yep.
You know,
and let's not
going
forget the joint venture that we had with Toyota back in the late 80s, early 90s, called NUMMI. Is there another lady out there trying to say something? Did I hear another voice?
I did.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, at this point, the only way that we can get together to start fighting against them, because there's so many deep pockets in this, is to get a fund together for attorney fees to go after them. There's no way. There's no way other than us having a fund together to fight against them. Because you have to fight money. So everybody that listens to this show, we need to come together and get a fund together and hire somebody to represent us legally.
That's an interesting thought.
There's no other way. There's no other way to go about fighting money against money. I mean, we know what's going on. Everybody knows what's going on here. Everybody's had their pockets taken out of retirees, active workers, people that are new hires. The only
I want to stop you right there. You say that everybody knows what's going on. I'm going to tell you a little story right here, and it's going to be short. Like I said last week, the retirees outnumber the active workers. And the first thing a retiree will say to you is this: the UAW has been good to me, and I needn't say no more.
Adrian, the new hires say the same thing. The new hires say the same thing. I mean, you got people thankful for a job to get hired into a plant, but they're never going to get the wages they deserve. Because if you look at the cost of living, they're never going to get to a wages ever going to equal the amount of cost of living. They'll always struggle. I know new hires that actually have to work a part-time job. I know retirees that have to work a part-time job. So if it's working so well, it's not. So whatever's transpiring here is never going to work until we get a fund together, and I don't know who needs to do it. I mean, I'll sign up for it. But until we get funds in an account to hire attorneys to go after them, we got to fight them with money because that's what they're doing to us.
What sucks is they're using our money.
Exactly. You're right. You're 100% right. But they're doing it because we're going off of some constitution that is not functioning. And they'll go in every time and change it 110% every contract to not negotiate in good faith for nobody. The only contract that's being worked out now is for the companies and for people that sit in international.
When the federal government found all this shit, they should have stopped it right then and there. But they wanted to get into this RICO stuff and all this other crap. I don't see how they can still say, really, it's, I mean, I don't understand a lot, Scott. If you read the law, there's a lot of people on both sides of this house violating it.
But the government, you know what? They're making a name for themselves and saying, hey, let's go after the biggest, one of the biggest union organizer, because there is no labor in the United States that's represented. Let's make an example out of them. Let's show how we can get in there and break them up, just like they did with the Teamsters. Now, there's no labor in the United States, basically, other than if you look at it, okay, you want to talk about upper middle class, lower middle class. It's not geared towards, I don't know what people want to consider labor anymore. It's not geared towards people that actually physically work labor. And now they're adding on, get the people that are in schools, and we're going to put them in the, scientists, and we're going to put them in the mix of, we're going to cover them under UAW and negotiated or whatever they want to call these each sectors. Well, guess what? How well is that going to work out? Think about it for a minute. Who does labor work? What percentage of people do you actually think does labor work? I don't even know why they would include those people under the umbrella, because those people don't do labor work.
Good thought. Good thought.
Those are not laborers. They don't use their body to make money. They're going to walk out of a company and still be able to walk. Do you know how many retirees I see? Do you know how many people that come out of walking physically from an assembly plant? Not many. So they're reaching out to get all these other people joining in on what was supposed to be labor work. Well, they're not laborers. That makes no sense. But until we can get funding and set up a fund to fight back against them with money that they're stealing from us, our money, there's no way. There has to be some kind of solution. We know what they're doing. It took me a long time to wake up to the realization, because I didn't want to think they were doing this shit to people. Because it's disgusting. I didn't want to not believe in a UAW. But you know what? I woke up. Because I researched, and I said, basically, you know what? It used to be, okay, well, we're not getting, this old saying, we're not getting represented by our locals or the regional. Well, guess what? A couple of years later, it was, you're not getting represented by your damn national negotiation. So now nobody's working for nobody. Retirees, new hires, active workers, nobody's working for nobody. So what is our solution at this point? We have to set up some kind of fund. We got to get our own attorneys involved to represent us. Because believe me, there will be attorneys that will take this on. Because if Rory Gamble can hire attorneys out of New York, so can we.
I agree with you to a point. But that's not your first thing to do. Your first thing is to get your membership together.
Correct.
Because if you can't get your membership to understand the things that we do, it's off or not. You won't get. You just won't be able to do it. But I agree with what you're saying,
Adrian. But there are too few people. Like,
yeah,
especially in those assembly plants, because
mm-hmm.
people have been shifted and moved around, relocated.
Mm-hmm.
You got
mm-hmm.
these new hires coming in. They don't get no union knowledge. They don't even know why they're paying union dues. They have no idea. I look on my union page, and they still don't even know when they're supposed to come back after shutdown. I mean, but I'm just saying, you know, I'd love to light a fire under people's ass, just like I had to light a fire under my own ass.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it took. Even being a second generation, I wanted to believe in this whole system, but it don't work. I'm looking at 10 more years in that place, and I'm
okay.
thinking, I was supposed to say when I left here for the union members, I would maybe in my heart leave it a better place, but it don't
mm-hmm.
function like that at all. The only thing I can help is if somebody needs my help, I help them out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see my local helping them out or teaching them. So now it has to be restructured.
But it starts in your unit. And if your unit is not doing the things that they're supposed to do, because maybe it's coming down from the local that we don't have the time or the funding to do these things. I mean, it's orientation used to be a week when you were a new employee coming in. And they would give you you would be introduced to everyone, what their functions were, and you would be given a little bit of history. That all stopped, if I'm not mistaken. Orientation is not a week long. I don't know if they do orientations anymore. Is it a day?
I have no idea, but I will say this. I think your plant chairman steps in for a few minutes, maybe talks a little bit, and steps out. That's going to be what I assume happens at this point.
Okay.
Because I can honestly tell you, people don't even know who their benefit reps are. They don't
wow.
even know who their bargaining reps are.
Wow.
I can see it on my... I can literally see it. I'm at one of the biggest plants, money makers, and I can tell you from looking at my plant page that people that are just walking in the door, they have no clue. So they've seen a face as your plant chairman, but they don't know anything else. That does not create solidarity.
No.
So...
It's
now, how do we change that? How do we change that?
I can only tell you that what I used to do when I was in the plant, every new person coming in, I would go and introduce myself to them. And I would tell them where I worked. I'd tell them a little bit about the facility. And I always told them, if you got any questions and you can't get anybody to answer your questions, you can always come to me and ask me. If I don't know the answers, I'm going to direct you to where you should go anyway for your answers. And I did that a lot.
I know you do.
You know, now, you know, I'm not there, so I can't do it. But there are other people that, when I left, took over and started doing some of that. And they would, you know, they call me and they let me know. And but because our unit people don't do the things necessarily that they should do, then it's left up to us as members. Take one under your wing, and you know.
And I've taken several. I've taken several under my wing. Myself, but that it doesn't mean as a whole everybody feels the need to do it, right? Because they're, but you know what? To take somebody under your wing means that you're going to self-sacrifice other things in your life. You know, I'm fighting for a girl who got wrongfully discharged. I'm literally battling right now my local, and I've made many a unhappy people. But it's my job, because you know what my guess is? If I fight for you, the only thing I ask for you is, if there's another person, you do it too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're sitting in orientation and you don't even know why you're signing up paying union dues, and then when you get out on that floor and you can't even get a committee person, people don't even care about the union anymore. It is what it is. I'm speaking honestly because I've seen it.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. But, you know, in order to change the whole regimes that have been going on, we have to fight money against money. We have to show these new people that the old people, even the people that are retired or are still working, we still care enough where we're going to fight for you. So how do you fight these big corporations and then the UAW that's against you? It has to be a special fund that we set up. And we actually have funding to get some representative on a legal basis, because our legal representation through the UAW is not working.
Yeah. It's less than ideal for us, that's for sure.
Well, there has to be some fruition. You
know, no judgment if every contract passes, and as long as we keep passing these riffraff contracts, we've given up our voice as an individual. They take over for us. Until we turn down a contract, sister, all this sounds real good, but it's all for vain.
Yeah.
110% correct. But you have to understand, too, is that these new hires, they've never even made. I mean, we got kids in there coming in there, and they're 18 years old, barely. They ain't never made even $8 an hour. So they're thinking, well, you get this sign-on bonus, you might be rich for a month. They don't even think beyond the month. They think, I'm going to be able to pay my damn rent.
But half of them are not going to get the signing. Half of them are not going to get the signing bonus.
Correct. But they don't think of the big picture. You remember
so
how when we used to hold together, we
on
thought
the contract.
Of the big picture. Yeah, we half thought of the big picture.
Exactly. Think about it. If they didn't have a calculator when you gave them a $10 bill to pay your bill at Subway, if it didn't tell them you got $2.25 back, they'd be like, well, what do you mean? I mean, I can't believe half of them can't count money back. That's a damn shame.
Yeah, but they don't think like that. They don't think, and I'm not insulting anybody that's a new hire. What I'm saying is, I mean, these are struggling times. People are thankful to have a job, and then they think, well, I can afford to pay the bills that I got or try and manage, and there's a hope. A hope in 8 years? 8 years? Are you kidding? Most of those contracts, if you look at them, you're not really actually in 8 years going to make top pay. Not never. What a legacy. And you won't have a pension. You know, there was a guy on here, and he said, and this summed it all up. He said, I am a new hire. I will never get a pension. So I'm going to be working forever. So if anybody's on here that is a legacy person, you better wake up and smell the coffee, because when negotiations come, just like the last one, it was geared towards satisfying mostly the new hires with some cornball 8-year contract talk. So wake up, because they don't have a pension and they will not give a shit about you if you are a legacy employee. So all that shit can always be renegotiated to gear it to help them out. It's all about money.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. But, you know, on the contractual language, as far as GM goes, and it was the same at Ford and Chrysler, what it was the language all around temporary and the classification of temporary that you fell into. And if you got to the glorious spot of a, I can't remember what the temporary was. You were moved into that slot to be moved up, to hopefully become a tier two. And if something happened within a year, and you broke that for 30 days, you had to start all over again.
Yeah, so, because it don't work for them. It works against them. But that is a play on words. It's a hopeful
absolutely
thought that they'll get where they need to be. But they're never going to get to legacy quote unquote pay.
Never.
It's a fallacy. Never.
In the eight years
that they're talking about talking, you might see a few progression people get to 27, 28, whatever it is, but they'll never hit 30. But if you think about the cost of living, that's fucking beans after taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. After 8 years, to get to that, by the time you get there, like you said, the cost of living and the price of inflation, $32
right
afterwards, you're not going to be able to get a house and a new car and a dog, and let alone have married and have kids. If you do,
no, because
you're going to
drive it. You're going to be in debt. You're going to be chasing that American dream with debt, just like the government loves you to be. So here's the thing. Now, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to, you know, because I often sit and I wonder in my brain. I often do this. What are we going to do? there's active people that listens. There's retirees. There's people that are new hires. I think the new hires think that a lot of them, but not all of them, think that, well, why didn't you guys fight for us?
Well, some of us cried.
Adrian answered
that last week. There are different factions of different people in different little groups all around right now, and we cannot collectively come together to unite our power to do what we need to do.
But that's
and until
what we
that
need
happens,
to.
Right? But until that happens, we're just sitting here spinning our oars in the water. We're not going anywhere. We only got one oar in the water. We're just kind of going in a circle.
There are people on this show that know their contract back and forth.
Yep.
And they know if you're on this show, you know that what has been done is so ass backwards. It is not what it's supposed to be. But
no.
We have to come to some conclusion of what we need to do as a collective group to get organized for everybody.
Right now, you'd say that'll never happen. Y'all need to quit working overtime. Stop after 9 hours. That's what we did, made them pay overtime after 8 hours. They started hiring people, got more. Then we went away from that in the bankruptcy, and after that, then they brought in these two discrimination. That we made three. Now I think last I knew, 7, is there not, Scott?
Five defined levels. Seniority, or that nasty word I was to say, legacy. Seniority worker. Tier 2 or in progression, then you have short-term temporary, long-term temporary, and my favorite oxymoron, permanent temporary.
That creates a certain title, right, which creates the vision.
Temporary is the one that's tearing us up because in my old plant, we have 20% of our workers are permanent temporaries, and there's only 400, and last I heard, 474 people over there. Hell, there used to be 6,000 of us there in 95. Or 98 when we went out strike, I think there was still 5,000. Now there's only 474, and that includes management and trades. Boy, that's a hell of a reduction, isn't that, people?
But in most of the contracts, if you look at them, and I don't care what company you work for, there's not no job security. The main thing that we used to go after was job security. We can't even offer our temps in progression or whatever they're labeled, unfortunately, any kind of security. But
well, they tell us we got job security if you read the highlights, but then you read the contract, it'll tell you they're closing 3 plants here, 4 plants there, and then next year we got a couple more going down. That's job security. I don't get that shit at all. I've been trying to, if somebody knows the answer to that, please tell me.
All right, here it is. If you don't have 10 to 15 years, and that 15 years might be a max, you don't have job security. I'm sorry. For anybody who's listening right now, wake up and listen. Do not vote yes on any more contracts, because what they're doing, they are using you as at-will employees. So wake up and listen to, you know, I'm so sorry I have to say this, but I don't want to say it. But it's a God's honest truth. And you know what? Us active people, we need to get on board and start fighting. We're just as guilty as anybody else.
Hear, hear.
But we have to figure out some way to come together where we get a fund together to get these shitty ass contracts and start waking up anybody that walks in those buildings.
Yep. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left in tonight's show. And you're right. And when you talk about the American dream, I'll quote George Carlin. He said that they call it the American dream because you got to be asleep to believe it.
True.
So, just saying. There. And you're right. It's sad.
I want all my anybody that hires in, I want them to have the opportunities that I had. There's no reason why they shouldn't have some kind of opportunities. In 8 years, that is not an opportunity in today's income. When you look at, and I'm looking like I gave up COLA. And you know what? When that whole shit was passed with, oh, well, we're going to go ahead. We need to save the company, and we need to give concessions. I didn't want to do it. I did it, but there was a promise behind that, and nobody fulfilled that promise in the companies. And you know what? When they said that we were going to hire people on a lower pay range, this is what they sold it off as. When one person retires, those people will move up to full pay. That never happened. So everybody should be pissed about that because they lied. Because I would have never signed that if I thought there would be so many tears and all this bullshit. And the union went along with it.
Actually, they were the ones that pushed it.
Well, they were the ones that pushed it. But who knew they were lying to your face? Because I would have never voted, yeah, okay, we're going to give concessions. And then when one person retires, okay, yeah, the next person, there's not wage division. I would have never voted yes on that. They lied to us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, they've told a lot of lies.
What are we going to do here on out? What are we going to do from here on out?
The only thing that we can do is keep trying to talk to each other and trying to get each other to come together.
That's correct.
Keep doing
what we've
been doing.
Until
you can do that, it's kind of mute.
Right. Well, we have a minute left. So I guess it's about time to start wrapping it up and figure out, you got the idea. Maybe we pick this up again next week and see what we can do.
It's a good idea.
It's a grand idea.
I say the only way you're going to fight against big corporate America and these companies and the UAW, because they consider themselves a corporate entity
as well,
we have to set up a fund and we have to individually, collectively, each of us, we have to give some money to this fund to protect ourselves against them. Because the UAW is not our legal, they are not representing us in a legal manner that is beneficial to the membership. They're lining their pockets off us.
Right.
So anybody out there that feels compelled to do something different, like myself or anybody else, until we can fight against them with some funds, there will be no movement. It won't happen at the locals because the locals are shutting the people's word down and have been doing for years.
Right. Well, we are We are done for the night. So, you can come back and
pick it up
revisit
next week.
This conversation next
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have a good night, everyone.
Yeah.
Good night. Good night.
Stay safe.
Have a safe week, and we shall see everyone in when? Next week. Next Sunday
next
at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night,
everybody.
Right on.